So today we're going to finish up our series on 30 plus days of thanks. I hope it's been a blessing to you. It really has been a blessing to me personally and corporately to talk about this again. And today we're going to talk about how our Thanksgiving, not the holiday, but the attitude, how an attitude of thanks can actually carve out a path to new feelings. What? Feelings don't have to be in charge of me? No, they don't. It's a beautiful thing. But the passage we're going to read today comes from Psalm. But I wanted to give you the background on it because David wrote it after the story of 1 Samuel 21. And let me just give you the story so that you understand when he wrote these words, what he was going through. If you're a songwriter, you know, or even a poem writer, you know that usually things are written out of a difficult place. Usually. And this is definitely true for this this psalm that we're reading today, which was always a song, also a song. But during the time that David wrote it, he had been anointed as king by the prophet, but he wasn't king yet. He had served Saul very well in his court, but Saul recognized the anointing on his life and was like, no, 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 you're not taking my throne. I'm going to run you out of here and kill you. So David is running for his life. I say that literally. He's running for his life. He's running away so that he can stay alive, right? He got to a bad spot, and he went to the priest named Ahimelech. Everybody say Ahimelech. Bless you. I knew you would like that. Nikki, she likes punnies. So, Gabby, smart. Oh, Judy. So he ran to the priest Ahimelech and he said, listen, I'm in trouble. I'm starving. I have a few men with me. And they're not here right now, but they're hiding, waiting for me. And we need bread. And Ahimelech said, dude, we don't have any bread. The only bread we have is the holy bread that's before the altar, before the Lord on the altar. But he said, you can have this bread. Take this bread. And then David said, do you have any weapons? We need a weapon. We need some weapons. Do you have a sword? And the most interesting thing happened here to me, because Ahimelech said, the only sword I have is the sword that belonged to Goliath, who you slayed. Now, I could probably preach an entire message on that, and I kind of did last week, but God will frequently give you back a tool or a weapon that you got in a victory. And he'll say, use it again. Use that weapon that you earned. But I found it fascinating that Ahimelech had it. Why didn't David have it? Why didn't the soldier keep the weapon he had earned in the victory? He gave it to the Lord. He gave it to the Lord. And when he needed it, Ahimelech said, here you go. Ah, that's really good. So he took the sword. David's like, yeah, that'll work. That'll do. That'll do. He took the sword and he ran to this place called Gath. Now that's ironic too, because Gath is where a whole lot of Philistines lived. Saul, Goliath's kin. And he was hiding out in Gath. And some of the people were like, hey, isn't this the dude that's supposed to be the king, the next king of Israel? So they had heard. So David started getting worried. So you know what he did? He pretended to be insane. That's what he did. Kids, it says that David let drool run down his beard. And he went and he scratched on the fence post. Get a picture of this is the king, the future king of Israel. He's acting nuts and he's letting drool run down. This is not for you to do at home. Letting drool run down your beard, his beard, and he's going, like I can imagine he's making all kinds of sounds and he's scratching on the fence post, which was not this nice soft material. It was more like this and it was very rough hewn. He's probably getting splinters and cuts and bruises from scratching on the fence post. Kind of helps to know where he is when he is having, when he's writing this next psalm that we're going to read. We can assume he was having some feelings. What kind of feelings would you have if you were in that situation, Isaac? You don't know? What about you, Miles? Do you have any ideas? What kind of feelings do you think you would have, Andy? Yes. Nervous and what? Angry. Anybody else have any feelings you think he might be having? Weird. Yeah. That's a good one. He would feel weird. Uh-huh. I would think he would also have some pretty serious confusion. Like, God, are you kidding me right now? You had David or had Samuel come and anoint me with oil and tell me I'm going to be the king, and this is what you do to me? Really? He had some feelings. We see, number one, if you're going to get a path to new feelings, first you have to own the ones you have. You have to, number one, have transparency with God. You have to have transparency with God. The problem is many of us, we're afraid to be transparent with God, so we get transparent with everybody else. And we verbally vomit over people. And then we blame God because he's not helping us. We never took our real feelings to God to begin with. God is a safe place. I'm not asking you to bury feelings. Listen to what David says in Psalm 56, 1 through 7. He goes, Lord, show me your kindness and mercy, for these men oppose and oppress me all day long. Not a day goes by, but that somebody harasses me. Have you ever had that feeling? Like everywhere I turn, somebody's harassing me. So many in their pride trample me under their feet. But in the day that I'm afraid, I lay all my fears. I think Andy said nervous. Fear. I lay all my fears before you and trust in you with all my heart. What harm could a man bring to me? With God on my side, I will not be afraid of what comes. The roaring praises of God fill my heart, and I will always trust, triumph as I trust his promises. Day after day, cruel critics distort my words. Constantly they plot my collapse, lurking in the dark, waiting, spying on my movements in secret to take me by surprise, ready to take my life. They don't deserve, I hear anger, they don't deserve to get away with this. Look at their wickedness, their injustice, Lord. In your fierce anger, cast them down. I can feel his anger. I can feel his fear. I can feel his disappointment, his discouragement, his confusion. If this is what being a king is, no thanks. He had real feelings. He didn't pretend. But he took them to God. He didn't print them and send them out for the nations to see. He took them to the Lord. Feelings are real, and they're a gift. All feelings, even fear, is a gift because it always points to something that's happening in our heart that we need to pay attention to. Why did God make it so that we have pain when we touch something hot? Why? So that we don't. So that we know if our fingers are getting damaged, we can pull it away. And then we learn, okay, if I touch that, I get hurt. Feelings are the same way. I will insert here, I didn't plan to say this, but anger is a feeling, but it's a secondary feeling. It's not a primary emotion. In other words, if you're having a lot of anger, you're struggling with a lot of anger, there's always another feeling that's layered beneath that. So if you just try to manage the anger, it's going to be a difficult battle. But if you can get to the secondary layer beneath that anger, you can deal with it a lot easier. You can own it and face it and take it to the Lord. Usually it has to do with disappointment, grave disappointment. Usually anger has to do with fear. Usually anger has to do with loss of control. If something happened in your life that you felt out of control, it will make you angry. But it's fear of the loss of control that actually leads to the anger. So they're signposts to heart stuff. But David decided to take his real feelings to God. You could hear them in the scriptures. Like, what? Cast them down. Here's the thing. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Take your real feelings to God. Be honest with him. I've had moments in my life where I screamed at God, not to God. I've screamed at God in my vehicle because that was the only safe place I had where nobody could hear me. He took it. He didn't zap me with lightning. He could have. He didn't. I think he was so glad that I trusted him with my real feelings. But don't stop there. Because at that point, we have a decision to make. Do I verbally spew out all my negative feelings onto God and then walk away and blame him? Or do I stay and wait and make a decision? Because there's always a decision to be made at that point. In the next two verses, we see David's decision played out in these two verses. The decision. Psalm 56, 8 and 9 in the Passion Translation. David says, right after he said, cast them down. It's almost like you can hear him take a deep breath there. You've kept track of all my wandering and my weeping. You've stored my many tears in your bottle. Some of us have shelves of bottles of tears. But I believe this. I actually believe that God stores our tears in bottles. I know it's figurative and there's some question on that. I just believe it. For they are all recorded in your book of remembrance. The very moment I call to you for a father's help, the tide of battle turns. And my enemies flee. This one thing I know, God is on my side. Can you hear the decision? Can you hear the shift? It's almost like he's walking down one path and he's like, this is bad. Wait, I know you've kept record of my tears. I know that you're with me. And this one thing I know, God is on my side. And he makes a turn. He makes a definite turn right there. We are all faced with that decision on a semi-regular basis. There might be seasons in your life where you're faced with that decision multiple times a day. And there might be seasons where you have a break and you only have to make that decision once a month. But here's how he does it. He decides to recount two things, who God is and what God has done in the past. That's what he does. He says, here's what I'm going to think about. I'm going to be intentional about taking my focus off of my troubles and putting my focus on two things. Who is God and what has he done for me in the past? That's what I was talking about last week when I was talking about building a history with God. When you build a history with God, you have all this material to go to. You have all this material, and so you don't freak out. The freak out zone gets smaller and smaller. We can literally see David's transition from in your fierce anger, cast them down, to this one thing I know, God is on my side. But then he kind of has another decision at that point. The first decision was taking my eyes off of me and putting them on God and what he's, who he is and what he's done. The second decision is give thanks before seeing the change. Many of us, we want to see everything all wrapped up in a beautiful red bow, and then we promise we'll give praise. We'll give thanks. But look at David's writing here in the following verses, verses 10 through 13. After he finally concludes, God is on my side, right? Then he says, I trust in the Lord and I praise him. I trust in the word of God and I praise him. What harm could man do to me? With God on my side, I will not be afraid of what comes. My heart overflows with praise to God and for his promises. I will always trust in him. So I am, right now, present tense, present progressive, actually, if you want to get technical. So I am thanking you with all my heart, with gratitude for all you've done. I will do everything I've promised you, Lord, for you have saved my soul from death and my feet from stumbling, so that I can walk before the Lord bathed in his life-giving light. Oh, what a difference from verse 1 to verse 13. You can see the path carved out to new feelings. I don't think that's just a pretty little story. I think that's for us to know that if David can do it, we can do it. I sent the notes to Ron and Roger this week and I said, did you really think I could plan a message about a path to new feelings without facing some hard feelings? This week's been tough. Actually, if I'm being totally bold with you, 2019 has been tough for me. Maybe one of the toughest in 12 years. Just like you, I have a choice. What will I do with those feelings? Do I pretend? I'm good. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a recording. Praise the Lord. Is that what I do? No. I take my real feelings to God and I'm like, this is rough. This hurts. This hurts. But I will make a decision not to get wrapped up in my hurt. I will bring it to you, and then I will make a decision to focus on you and all you've done and how faithful you've been in my history. And then from that, I pull into the present, and I step into this place where I go, you have been faithful in every case in my life, so I'm pulling thanksgiving for that into my present, and I'm thanking you because what I'm going through now, I know you're going to be faithful again. That's what you do. I didn't say it's easy. I'm not asking you to bury your feelings. I'm asking you to leave them in the dust of your present and your future. To make God so big in your mind that everything else becomes small. I love that he said, David said, I trust God. I praise him. I trust his word. I praise him. Really? What am I worried about? What are people going to do to me? God's the one. With God, I'll not be afraid. My heart overflows with praise. I love that. Because when you really turn it in your heart, not just as an exercise, but in your heart, it does eventually work its way down. Sometimes it starts out as an exercise for me. Like, okay, God, I'm being really intentional right now, and I'm making a decision to either write down or recite out loud all that you are and all that you've done for me, and eventually it makes its way down to my heart. Does that make sense? It doesn't always come from my heart first, but it always gets there. And David got there. My heart overflows with praise. I'm thanking you with gratitude. You saved my soul from death, my feet from stumbling. There was a song that came out quite a few years ago now, probably 7 or 8 years ago. And it's called You Satisfy My Soul. But I think I love the spontaneous part as much as I love the whole song. The chorus goes, You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul with your love. And then she breaks out into this totally spontaneous thing, and she starts singing this. Sometimes you gotta sing your way into the truth. You've gotta sing your way into the truth. You've gotta sing your way into the truth. And when I first heard that, I will never forget, I was cleaning on a Saturday and I had the music cranked on Pandora, so it picks music, and I had never heard of this artist at that time, and I can't think of her name right now. Do you know her name, anybody? Anyway, huh? Anybody know it? Oh well. I'll put it on Facebook later for you. When I heard those words, sometimes you got to sing your way, and I stopped vacuuming. I turned off the vacuum, and in my living room, I just cried and worshiped God. Sometimes you got to sing your way into the truth. You got to sing your way into the truth. You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul with your love. There's no way you can keep feeling the same way when you make that decision. It's impossible. I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and start passing out communion right now while I'm talking. I won't be bothered by it at all, I promise. Because I wanted us to have corporate communion together on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Part of the whole purpose of communion is that we stop, we pause, and we remember and we give thanks to Jesus for what he has done. And so it goes with our message. And maybe some of you right now, you're like, I need to get more real with God. I've gotten real with everybody else except God, but I haven't gotten real with God. And if that's you, I invite you, while the video is playing in a moment, to get real with God. But don't stop there. Don't stop, right? Make a decision to turn your heart towards everything God is and everything he has done to show his faithfulness to you in your life. Give thanks before you see the change. Give thanks today. Make a decision to give thanks. Some of you might have heard of the 10-year challenge that's going on Facebook. I promise you it wasn't a 56-year-old woman who had that idea. No. Probably a 25-year-old who came up with that plan, because you don't, at 15 you look rough, and at 25 you normally look great. So that was probably a 25-year-old woman who thought of that plan. I'm asking you for a different 10-year challenge today. It has nothing to do with physical. I want you to think about over the last 10 years how God has been faithful to you. And even in those moments where you can't see it right now, ask God as we're taking communion, say, God, can you show me where you were in that moment? Just show me where you were, because I know you're faithful. It is who you are. I know your love. It is who you are. So can you show me your love in that moment of my life? But here's the thing. We're going to do communion a little differently this year, you know, on this year, today. It's almost over the year. So I have a video. Don't take the juice and crackers until you are prompted on the screen to do so. So like for the first 3 minutes of the video, just sit and give thanks. Do your 10-year challenge. Not the picture one, the thanks one, right? Do your 10-year challenge. And then at some point on the screen, you will see across the bottom, it will say, quietly say, God, thank you for perfect healing in this moment. Then eat the bread. And you follow that. Yes, the video will be playing. You can still quietly say it. It's fine. You can even say it out loud if you want. But it'll all be on the screen, so you don't have to worry about what to say. It'll be there. You can read it, okay? And then after about 30 to 45 seconds, you will see, quietly say, God, thank you for loving me so perfectly and saving me so completely, then drink the juice. So we're doing it corporately, but we're doing it individually at the same time. Does that make sense? Okay, I think you're going to love this video.
With me, I'll break the bread and drink. come sup with me. I break the bread and drink the wine. Come sup with me.
God, I thank you for perfect healing, perfect salvation, perfect love being poured out on us. We are forever grateful for who you are and all you've done. And God, I pray especially for people in this room right now who will be with family that they find it difficult to be with on Thanksgiving, but they know that they make that decision to do it anyway. God, I pray that they would take some time on Thanksgiving morning to sup with you so that when they go to that Thanksgiving meal, they are so full of you that you just ooze out. That they will be so filled with your love and your grace and your mercy and your kindness that it will be a totally different experience than they are expecting. Not because of there's change in someone else, but because they see it differently. And I thank you for people also who might not have family nearby and Thanksgiving is not what they always hoped it would be. Again, give all of us the intentionality to stop on Thanksgiving morning and spend some time alone with you, looking at who you are and what you've done, so we can approach it well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Next week, we will start our new series. Actually, this year, for the first time in a while, Advent actually starts on a Sunday, which is so nice. I'm happy about that. So next Sunday will be our first Advent theme. And our theme is making space for Jesus. Making space for Jesus. Is there room in your inn? Making space. And next week, I'll be sharing a message with you called Omit the Non-Essential. Omit the Non-Essential. I think it's going to be worth your time to come. So I hope to see you next week.